Have you ever imagined God sitting on a throne? Well, if so, what type of images came to your mind? How would you describe what you imagined? Well, in the book of Hebrews, we find an amazing description of the throne of God. Listen carefully to how God's throne is described. It's called the throne of grace. Have you ever thought about that? God is enthroned upon grace. The Greek word translated as grace in that verse means goodwill, loving kindness, or favor. In other words, it's blessings for those who approach him. It's giving great things to those who absolutely don't deserve it. That's what grace is. Now, the natural bent of human beings and the slant of religions around the world seems to be something like this. At least in my own experience, what I've seen, it's geared toward trying to earn something from God. We tend to have the idea that our acceptance with God is based upon our performance from day to day. That's just our human nature. And it's a way we treat other people. When someone performs well, we reward them with acceptance. When they fall short, we tend to shun them. Isn't that the way of the world? So whenever we as human beings blow it in some way, when we come face to face with the fact that we have made a mess of something, that we've missed the mark and sinned in some way, our first response, or at least my first response for most of my life, has been this: I would run from God. I figured, why would God want anything to do with me? I am a really rotten guy. Have you ever thought that about yourself? You know, on some occasions, I've even found myself saying, I'm such a mess. Why even bother? I can't be good enough, so I'm not even going to try. I might as well just, you know, whatever. I remember being there several times in my life. Can you relate to that? Have you ever blown it in such a way that you actually took yourself by surprise at the frailty of your human frame and willpower, and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just thought that, did that, or said that? I know I have. But here's a beautiful truth. You have never taken God by surprise. Never, ever, not even once. The Bible teaches us that God knew you before the foundation of the world. And the Bible tells us that God is working all things according to the counsel of his will. That's a mind blower, isn't it? To say the very least. Now, what's it mean for you and me? Well, it means that somehow in the economy of God, in our Father's design, he wanted to be able to express mercy, grace, and compassion to beings, to individuals. But in order to do that, he would have to create beings that would need mercy, compassion, and grace. Now think about it. If before the foundation of the world, God knew you and God knew me, do you think that the fall of Adam in the garden took God by surprise? No, of course not. Ultimately, if God's working all things according to the counsel of his will, God designed Adam for the fall. That will just cause some of our religious toenails to curl, but either God is God and he's got a plan, or God is God and he doesn't. The Bible tells us, along with knowing us before the foundation of the world, that God had already planned on sending his only begotten son to redeem us. And that, again, is kind of a mind blower when you really think about it. Anyway, let's get back to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about us having a great high priest. In other words, we have a great mediator between us and God, and it tells us that that mediator is Jesus, the Son of God. Then it tells us that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with you and me and our weaknesses because he became a human being and was tempted in all points just like we are, but was without sin. Now, being without sin, that's something that can only be said about Jesus. It can't be said of anyone else, not me, not you, not your pastor, not even the Pope. It can't be said about the nicest, most fine, upstanding person you can think of. The truth is, we are all born into death and born into sin. I don't like it. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish we didn't have the struggle, but it's just the way it is. Now, here's what the writer of Hebrews goes on to say. He says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is that amazing or what? When we are at our worst and weakest, it doesn't tell us to run from God. It doesn't tell us to take a time out with our nose in the corner or to go through some religious gyrations. It tells us something very different. Listen to those words again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It doesn't say to approach God apprehensively or fearfully, shaking in your boots. And it doesn't say to come to the throne of God begging and pleading for mercy. It says, boldly approach the throne of grace, and you'll find mercy, and you're going to find grace and help in time of need. at your greatest time of need. At that moment when you are fully aware of your frailty and sin, we've all been there, realize that at that moment, God is allowing you to see that you are exactly who He came to save, and that the blood of Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was shed for you. I used to spend most of my prayer time, you know, making promises to God. After my times of failure, I would make big commitments to God about how good I was going to do. I'd try to bargain with God in the hope that I would be accepted by Him and make God happy, when all the while, the door to the throne room was wide open. And in that room is a Savior seated upon grace. Grace for people like me, people like you, people who want to get it right, and we all do. Wouldn't you love to perfectly love God with all your heart and perfectly love your neighbor as yourself? But we don't, because we were born into death and sin. But He's got grace for people like me, grace for people like you, people who discover over and over again that we are weak, defective, and prone to failure. And surprisingly enough, apparently that's exactly the way God wants it to be during this age. Or else, think about it, He would have done the whole creation thing very differently and wouldn't have planned on sending us a Savior before the foundation of the world. He would have had a plan B if this wasn't God's plan A. He would have decided to send a Savior after the fall of humanity. But He had decided to do it, the Bible tells us, before the foundation of the world. It's amazing, amazing stuff. My name is James Flanders, and I'm learning to rest in the fact that God really does accept me, even at my worst, and that I don't have to run from Him, but I can run to Him in my greatest time of need, and that He receives me, not because of anything I have done or anything I could do, but because of what He has done for me and for you by sending His Son to die for our sin, and then raising that same Son for our justification. And we'll talk more about that at another time. If this has blessed you in some small way, please share it with a friend. God bless you and have a great day.